This is a Little Empire podcast. Visit us at littleempirepodcast.com and on Twitter at Little Empire Pod.
Thanks so much to our sponsors at bigpipe.co.nz. Big Pipe have unlimited data and no contracts. How good is that? I don't know, really good. Sign up right now, please, at bigpipe.co.nz.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to a new episode of The Male,
the male gaze.
You're a bit late there, Chris. Well, a bit early, actually. We're confession time. Confession booth. I'm in Auckland and Chris is in Wellington, and we are talking to each other across the medium of the internet, I guess.
Yeah. I, for one, find the disconnect almost a little bit more comforting, that, you know, like when I have to look at you right in your eyes, while I like that, it feels more easy for me being alone in a room with like headphones on.
Oh, that's good.
Maybe that's just speaking to our generation, you know? We just like being alone. We just like being on the internet, don't we? By ourselves.
Yeah. I'm not alone. I'm here with our producer, Tim. And on the way here, I got two piccolos for us, but they didn't have lids for the piccolos, and I spilled the piccolos all over the floor of my car. I'm hangover as well. I was at the Music Awards last night. Thank you for asking, Chris. I had a great time.
I didn't ask. I was too busy opening a show, Eli, in Wellington. I'm a working actor.
You're an actor.
Yeah, you let me. Did you meet Liam Malone?
I thought you worked in hospitality. I did meet Liam Malone. I hotly pursued it. I shook his hand, and I was like, "How are you doing?" And he was like, "Tired," and that was the whole conversation.
We're all tired, Liam.
Yeah,
we're. I guess he's an athlete, so he's got a better excuse for being physically tired.
Yeah, international listeners, you might not know Liam Malone is one of our favorite athletes at the moment. He won gold at the Paralympics in sprinting, and I would suggest you Google his name right now and enjoy the results.
He's a real babe. He's such a babe.
Yeah, and in real life, very.
Okay, this isn't the Liam Malone podcast. It's crack on.
Similar height to me as well.
Okay, Eli, stop trying to sort out your marriage with Liam Malone.
If you're listening, Liam, I love you.
He's not listening.
Okay.
What would you do if he was actually gay? If he like came out like maybe in 3 months?
Just like hotly pursue it. Like use every connection I have to.
I would help you out. I would do all I can. I would, like, I don't know, activate my networks. Even though we have the same networks, I'd, like, activate my networks. Maybe, like my family or something.
Yeah, your family could definitely help out.
Get my mum and dad on the case.
I think he lives in Wellington. I would engineer situations where we would run into each other, like you do with your high school crush, where you learn their class schedule so you can run. I would do that. I would learn his class schedule so that I can run into him in the halls. Shall we stop talking about Liam Malone? Even though there's a whole podcast worth of things to discuss, but let's start with the fact of the gate. Chris, do you want to share your fact first?
Yeah, sure. Well, this came up recently because I was searching online for like things to buy, like for my life, and I was looking at Urban Outfitters, which I always thought was kind of like a cool store. Like I quite like their t-shirts and like their specifically their like homeware stuff. I'm a big fan of homeware.
Yeah, good homeware. I bought my favorite shoes from there as well. You know my Adidas ones that are like bright.
Oh, they're great shoes, ain't they?
They're bright blue and yellow.
My boyfriend then tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Did you realize that Urban Outfitters are kind of like anti-gay?" And I was like, "What?" And then I did a bit of research, and this is from a Huffington Post article in 2013, so things may have changed, but the facts lie, and history still exists. I'm making up quotes now.
History does still exist. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
History has not gone anywhere.
History will never stop existing, as the song goes. History never stops existing.
never goes away. So this is like a couple of, they list a bunch of companies that don't support gay rights.
Yeah.
Number two on the list, Urban Outfitters.
Or number two.
Bourbon Dumbfitters. In 2008, president and founder
Bourbon
Richard...
Dumbfitters? Sounds like a great drink.
let me get on with the fact. In 2008, president and founder Richard Hayne donated $13,150 to Rick Santorum's campaign, who was sort of notable in the 2008 presidential election for being anti-gay rights. And there was a big famous thing that came out through Dan Savage, who like used Santorum's name. You may have remembered this as like a they used the definition of Santorum as the frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter that is sometimes as a byproduct of anal sex. So lots of like strong gay advocates who are against Rick Santorum, and he was like bad for gay rights, but Urban Outfitters gave him, albeit a little bit of cash, not a whole lot of cash. Like
$13,150 is quite a funny amount, isn't it?
It's quite weird. Like, personally, like, one guy giving that money is quite a lot. Like, that's, you wouldn't give that to a friend.
Yeah.
But it's like a huge global company giving that to someone that's like not, I don't know where they're going to put that. That's just like their per diems or something.
It's like one run of flyers for for old Santori.
Anyway, so, I mean, they also had a line of I support same-sex marriage t-shirts, which they then pulled from their shelves only after a week. So Whoa. They didn't even give it a real good run. But, I mean, I don't know. Things can change, but we've got to remember this. You know, as they say, history never goes away. And so we're going to have to watch out for Urban Outfitters.
Would you like to hear my fact of the gay? I pledge allegiance to not buy from Urban Outfitters.
You got to burn those shoes, mate. No, they're too good.
They're really good shoes.
And Adidas are sweet as.
Yeah. And they knew when they sold
New Unlike New shoes. Balance. Holy crap.
Whoa, New Balance, the official shoe of white people. Vomit. So gross.
Yeah, all right.
So funny how much trouble they're in now. Dickheads.
People are now like really torn because they love their New Balances, but ethically they just cannot align with that. That is just terrible.
I feel like that. So it was the vice president of New Balance. I feel like he's like, oh, you say one nice thing about Trump, and then all this happens. And it's like, yeah, that's exactly what happens, you dick. Here's my fact of the gay. Did you know that the among prominent opponents of the Westboro Baptist Church, you'll know the Westboro Baptist Church from Louis Theroux's documentary about them.
I love them.
Slash, just when they've popped up at all the worst places to protest and picket. Picketing funerals, all sorts of stuff. Do you know among their among their staunchest enemies are the Ku Klux Klan? The KKK hate the Westboro Baptist Church.
They're like stepping on each other's turf or something.
Yeah. Because it's because of the Ku Klux Klan, obviously. The Westboro Baptist Church, they picket funerals, right? And right. often of war veterans, because they are like, war is gay people's fault or you know, whatever. God. And KKK members are often, some of them are veterans themselves, including Imperial Wizard, Dennis Labonte. Imperial Wizard. Like, how can we take... You can't expect anyone to take your organization seriously when you call yourself the Imperial Wizard.
I love a good wizard, eh? Like, there's a wizard in Christchurch, yes. Which is where we grew up, for our listeners who are just new to the podcast. And I'm just like, I can't believe... I just love that the entire Christchurch city, all of Christchurch silly just love and embrace the fact that we have this man who's like, I'm a wizard.
And when I was a kid, it was like so normal. I was like, of course. I was like, well, every city must have a wizard, right?
Yeah, every city should have a bloody wizard.
He's famous as well for getting in a rowboat. Whenever the census comes around, he gets in a rowboat. I don't know if it's a rowboat, but it's a rowboat in my mind. And he rows out into the ocean until he's out of the national border so that he doesn't have to fill in a census, so that he doesn't exist anywhere.
My only memory of the wizard was when we won the America's Cup. And there was a big parade on Cashel Street, and he arrived in a tank, And then, like, I'm pretty sure there was a massive explosion, which in my mind was like a cannon being fired. And I was like, get me out of here. This is hell on earth. But that's my only memory of the wizard.
He's got a car as well, which is like a Mini Cooper with two front, like it's the front, like both sides of the car are the front of the car somehow.
We should chat to him. I wonder if he aligns with like same sex. I mean, hopefully he's all like, you know, LGBTQI aligned, because that would be dope.
That'd be good. Anyway, the KKK sometimes turn up to Westboro Baptist picketing protesty things, and they don't make a lot of noise, but they do hand out small American flags as a form of protest. So that's
blog.
That's what they're up to.
Both should just cancel each other out. We hate you both.
I've got a message for the Imperial Wizard of both of those organizations, and it's the
Back to Oz.
Go back to Oz and hide behind the wall and paint yourself green.
They're off to see the Imperial Wizard. I love that.
The Imperial Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. Hey, should we get into today's ep? We are recording this. It's an emergency recording. This is why we're recording in two different cities. Chris, by the way, is in Wellington doing a play called Hudson and Halls. Get along.
Get along if you're in Wellington. But basically, I arrived here on like the Sunday, and then that was the night the earthquake happened here. That like 7.8 earthquake in Seddon. And like obviously, I just feel for everyone who's up in that sort of North Canterbury region and Kaikoura and stuff. I mean, it must be so hard. But we felt it quite a bit down here as well in Wellington, and just like it's been pretty interesting. Like this past week, it's been kind of crazy what's been going on. But we're sort of getting it back together. And then I check my bloody Facebook to see the news. I was like, what's going on in the news? And old Brian Tamaki has let his mouth run a bit wild. And there was this video came out of him blaming the Christchurch earthquake, and I guess also the Wellington earthquake, on sinners, specifically homosexuals.
Brian, look, if you're not familiar with who Brian Tamaki is, Destiny Church is kind of the most high profile, I guess, sort of alternative church in New Zealand. It's in South Auckland. It's sort of near Rainbow's End, our one and only theme park. It's a huge church.
But it's kind of like, I guess in the scheme of like churches in maybe America, it would kind of just like add up. Do you know what? Like it's sort of similar to the scale of like your churches you'd find over there. Like big kind of cult followings, right?
Totally. And it's like ritzy with like flashy lights and a big band and huge
plasma TV.
Yeah. And it's huge. Brian is well known for basically leeching the money off the people who go along to his church, living a very lavish life, often posting videos of him on holiday, going hunting, hanging out with his wife at hotels, despite the fact that he runs his church in a kind of like a lower socioeconomic place. Basically, I don't know, he rips people off and then delivers hate speech like he did this week. And we hate him. That's the official male gaze stance on Brian Tamaki.
He was not going to be a guest on the bloody male gaze. We should have him on, and we should just like interrogate his sort of his hypothesis a little bit further.
Yeah.
Do you think you could cause an earthquake, Eli?
I mean, I've done some pretty dirty stuff. no, not really. Honestly. No. Like, gay people having sex is the most boring thing in the entire world. Like, I mean, no, it's not. It excites me in a deep, loyal level, but it is also, like, so normal.
I think he's just come out recently, though, saying that he meant it, but he didn't go like, oh, I don't, because now he's backtracking, obviously, because it's actually caught a little bit of international media. Mm. And he was like, oh, well, I didn't mean, like, just homosexuals. I mean, like, any extra sexual activity, which I was like, well, you've kind of got to define that a little bit. Does that just mean like anything around the butt, or like,
does that mean that you've had a blowjob, Brian Tamaki?
Yeah, because that's like a blowjob and like a handjob, they're all like warm-ups, you know, to the main activity. So I wouldn't say that's like extra. I'd say that's like pre.
It's like necessary. You know? Like, because if you're, I mean, thinking
it's the building blocks to a good sexual experience.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not taking part in any form of foreplay, gotta say, I'm feeling not very good for Mrs. Tamaki. You know what I mean? Because,
exactly.
I mean, I don't know a lot about straight sex, but I know a lady needs warming up. Did you know this, Chris? I was talking to someone the other day. I didn't know this, and I definitely never did it in my few excursions with a lady, but I think you're meant to. when you're having sex with a girl,
are you giving like heterosexual sex advice on the Male Gaze podcast?
Yes, from me to you.
I love this.
I think you're meant to. So you're meant to. While your P's in the V, you should also have a hand down there, also stimulating the clitoris like the whole time. I mean, I never did that, and massive apologies.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, was you kind of got a lot, and I guess that other hand could be the woman or the man doing that.
Yeah, totally.
You can choose, which is kind of like, in a way, like who's topping and who's bottoming. Like whose hands doing the extra bit of work today? Should we figure it out?
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, very similar.
Well, it's full on. It's like you're getting your hands in there, aren't you? It's like sort of hard work, isn't it?
It's not simple like it looks on the movies sometimes. anyway, I hope. Hope Brian's listening.
what's your sort of Eli? You sort of grew up in a religious household, though, didn't you? Like you were quite. You went to church quite a bit and everything. Your family are quite religious.
Yeah, they are. I went to church from ages 0 to probably about 15. Pretty on the reg.
Were there any kind of like red herrings for you when you were growing up about like, was there any kind of like hate speech a little bit towards queer people at your family church?
There was a guy who, like an ex-gay who was touring the world with his wife, and he came the church. Yeah, and I definitely remember my mum like talking about it more once we got home because I didn't really understand. I was quite young. Yes. But yeah, he had left behind his homosexual life and now had a wife, and they were touring the world together. And he was preaching about his experience, which is pretty dark, right?
That's full noise. We didn't really. We went to church as a family growing up, but it was like we're Presbyterian, and it's like Presbyterian's kind of, I don't know. It was a bit boring. Like it's just sort of like there's no like excitement, and it's all just like the service is really functional, and mainly I just went for like Sunday school, and we just like kind of just sit in a room and drink cordial. Like it was quite weird, but we didn't even.
Always have cordial at Sunday school. That was the same with mine.
Always cordial. I don't know what that's all about. And then I went to a really religious intermediate school when I was like 11 and 12 years old, and like did all the incense and stuff like that. But we just. The thing is, I guess when we had like health class, we just like same sex was never brought up. Sexuality was never brought up.
Yeah.
It was always just kind of like, when it was always like when a man and a woman fall in love, then they'll have sex and then they'll have a baby and then they'll have like 14 babies and, you know, it was all that kind of stuff. But there's never like.
Very good sex education. And then they'll have like 14 babies, end of story.
14 babies. You move to a community.
I don't think I got taught about same sex sex though in my very much non-religious school.
What is up with that?
That's
think
really
like
weird,
and even, and even at high school, it never really got. It was like it was almost like the danger episode of health class. It was like, now some of you will have feelings towards men, and watch out for those because they are gonna fuck you up.
Don't tell anyone.
Like, yeah, it was never like it should always just be put out and like. Equal standing for everyone, eh? Like, you know, it's like I'm going to talk about same sex and with the same amount of time and energy and investment that I talk about heterosex and heterosexuality. Yeah, it's bonkers. But back on old Brian Tamaki here, because this is what we're really trying to focus on, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, what do we kind of. I want like a public apology from him a little bit. Like,
yeah,
he's kind of back. I mean, the guy's an idiot, and he's kind of running a cult. And what's kind of interesting was, like, we sort of feel like in New Zealand, we're so this kind of, like, liberal, small country that we don't have these sort of crazy lunatics delivering, like, spouting off hate speech all the time. And then suddenly, like, he's essentially, like, he's giving, like, rhetoric like Trump. You know, like, it's quite crazy. And then he starts kind of tweeting madly, being like, the media are, like, taking all the attention away from the earthquake. And putting it onto this like one comment I made, and I was
it's like,
well,
no, you did that. You leveraged the earthquake to make that to speak some hate. You pisshead.
He's not a pisshead.
I don't know if he drinks. I don't know about his drinking.
He does quite a bit of like his Instagram's quite interesting. Like it's mainly just like him shooting wild boars, like which
constantly
I feel
hunting.
Like also kind of lays into a sort of Trump supporter vibe that he's giving off. And like his genuinely terrible haircut as well, which is also very Trump of him.
Yeah, if you're wondering what he looks like, it's sort of like a Harvey Keitel character. It's like a really a slightly oversized suit and like slicks back hair, and like his skin looks shiny at all
Hold
times.
Is Brian Tamaki the Trump of New Zealand? Like, is he
I think he spoke this way definitely because he was seeing the changes happening in the world and was like, cool, I'm going to hop on that train more.
It's, oh my God, imagine if he ran for Prime Minister and then we had the exact same thing over here where he was like elected. I would move. I would 100% move to Australia.
That would never happen. Even in a Stuff article that you, Stuff is Fairfax Media's news website here, and it's constantly got the worst people giving comments. Like constantly, you read it and you feel depressed about the state of humanity. Yeah. But on any article about Brian Tamaki, they are thousands of comments just being like, he's an idiot. Like,
Oh, you go, sorry.
Well, even from Stuff commenters who are often are like, you know, will argue about like reverse racism and just like stuff like that until they rip each other's heads off.
Because I found the video first on the Disney Church page. I don't know why it was being suggested for me to watch. It's like, hey, Chris, you might like this. And it was... like all the comments underneath the video were all members of Destiny's Church, and they were like, yes, 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 please, this is great, more of this, I love this. Share. And I was like, what the heck? I can't believe, I mean, the church has got a massive following, eh?
Huge.
I don't really know much about, I mean, I just pretty much pretend they don't exist, but they don't really, I mean, they don't follow any of my interests.
yeah. They don't have any like Dolly Parton movie nights for me to come
on
down
their big
to.
Plasma tallies. Yeah.
It was funny.
But, yeah,
he,
I was pretty
he
surprised
tweeted
how
afterwards.
Many supporters.
Oh, no, you go.
No, you go. I'm done. I've got nothing interesting to say.
Okay, cool. I'll go then. He tweeted afterwards. He was like, all the media talking about me, but I haven't had a call from TV1 News, TV3 News, or Close Up at 7. Close Up at 7 was a TV show that was cancelled in 2012. Hasn't been on for 4 years. Of course they're not calling you.
When that came up, I was like, I'm pretty sure Close Up's gone, bro.
Close Up's long gone. Where have you been?
Well, he's been too busy in his church, bloody spouting off hate speech. It's such a crazy video. If you get the chance to watch it, like maybe watch a little bit of it, but don't give it the likes that it needs, wants.
Put an angry face on it.
Standing in front of this ginormous plasma, it looks like he's plasma television. It looks like he's performing at like Christmas in the Park or something. It's so weird.
Christmas in the Park, for international listeners, is the best night of the year. It's where all of the people who got kicked off New Zealand Idol sing covers of Christmas songs, and you sneak alcohol into a park.
And kind of where you have like your first kiss and where you got like drunk for the first time.
Yeah.
Well, that's what everyone else said. I was running around like a ball of anxiety, trying to hang out with people and look cool.
Yeah, I was with the boys from school with a pump bottle full of vodka.
Once. That's very, very cool of you.
Thank you so much. I may have even puffed on a cigarette that night.
Really?
I think so, yeah. Christmas in the Park, eh? Big time for me.
That's where like all your important adolescent memories are made, come true. Kiss a couple of chicks and smoke a couple of ciggies.
I found it interesting in the video how the people in the audience, how they respond to it is by, they're like, yes, yeah. Like that's all you hear from the audience. You don't hear clapping or anything. They're just like, yes,
well,
yes.
The thing is, I find quite weird is that you go to church on like a Sunday morning at like 8 a.m. So you've obviously had like maybe a bit of a big Saturday night. Like even if you know you've got church the next morning, you're still going to push the boat out a little bit on a Saturday night. They imagine being in that environment, that kind of like late night rave, it's like of a church at Sunday morning, like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
It must be like hell being in there.
It must be. I mean, I'm I don't know if I told you before, but I'm hungover right now because I was last night at the Vodafone New Zealand Music Awards.
Oh my God, Eli, that's amazing. Are you a celebrity? Do you go to music award videos? Oh, I couldn't tell. I was actually doing a show last night. I'm an actor.
Oh, okay, cool. I got this VIP guest pass, which like got me into some of the after parties, which was like pretty cool. I felt pretty cool. Got some photos in a 360 camera, so thanks
for
asking.
Those. They're like the ultimate mannequin challenge videos, eh? Because they're just like you're actually frozen in time.
Yeah, it's like you get all the effect of the mannequin challenge without having to stand still.
What's your take on the mannequin challenge? Like, how do you feel about it?
I think it's hot.
Do you like it? I think it's hot. I want to have sex in a mannequin challenge.
Yeah. I want to do a mannequin challenge. Where
oh my God.
What?
Big Fish is the old. I've just like suddenly thought of Big Fish. That's like the very first mannequin challenge. That scene with the popcorn.
What scene? I know this movie. Ewan McGregor, right? Tim Burton.
Yeah. And when they like first lay eyes on each other, like the whole world freezes and like popcorn's like frozen in time. I'll forward you the scene. You can watch it.
The mannequin challenge definitely reminds me of like high school drama when they're like, one of the features of drama is tableau.
It should be called the tableau challenge.
The tableau challenge. One person should step out and do a monologue. How did I end up here on a plane with Hillary Clinton's staff? Hey, I have something to talk about. Always, but right now, relating to what we're talking about, which is so Brian Tamaki is constantly talked about anti-gay stuff.
Is that right?
No.
Is that what you want to talk about?
No. Please don't put words in my mouth. or dicks.
I will.
Brian has constantly made these kind of anti-gay remarks throughout his whole career. Is it a career? Is what he does a job? I don't think so, but he says it. Also, in the news recently is Mike Pence, the vice president-elect of...
I love him.
We love Mike Pence. Mike Pence, he has...
Mike Pence? More like Mike Spence.
More like Mike Two Cents, because my two cents is... He can That's go great. Fuck himself. his website in 2000 included statements that indicated that he believes in gay conversion therapy. Apparently, he was trying to take money out of kind of AIDS and HIV foundations and funnel it into gay conversion therapy in the 2000s. Like
bloody
since
hell.
Since Y2K, he's been doing this. He also. Since the legalization of same-sex marriage, I think that here's this to my understanding. Maybe I'm going to tell a lie right now, but I think he put legislation in place where it became impossible to register your marriage in Virginia, where he was governor, and you could get a fine or even jail time for trying to register a same-sex marriage in Virginia. So
bloody hell.
And he's the vice president-elect. He's going to be in January. From January, he's going to be the second most important man and probably the most important man because Trump does not know what he's doing.
He's a puppet, mate. He's a bloody puppet.
He's a bloody puppet. He's just a puppet.
He's his hand up his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, were you going to do some more? Were you going to speak some more in that voice?
No, I was done. I was
that's pretty. I was enjoying
it. I'm putting that character to bed.
Maybe rest a bit. That's the hardest thing an actor can do for listeners out
it's
there
like
that don't know.
It's like you warm up, but do you warm down as an actor? You know, sometimes these characters stay with you forever. You've got to let them go.
Yeah, got to pull the curtain down.
I'm so hungover as well. Okay, what were you going to say about Pence? So, I mean, apart from that, he's a monster.
No, let's just talk about this is going to be the last thing we talk about on this podcast. These people, like Brian Tamaki and Mike Pence, the impulse is often to be like the reason they are so outwardly homophobic is because they are secretly gay. A lot of time, that's what people
right. There's like an internal homophobia, internalized homophobia. Like they identify something inside themselves, then project that onto other people because they don't want to be like that.
Yeah. So I guess. My question to you is, do you think it's...
do you hate yourself?
Do you hate yourself?
Yes, I do.
What laws would you put in place to stop your own behavior? I guess, do you think it's healthy or good to even entertain that as a possibility? Like, do you think is it helping anyone to suggest that Mike Pence or Brian Tamaki might have some of these feelings and that is why they are so staunchly against
It's kind of like wasting time, isn't it? Like, the best thing to be doing is to be like pouring your energy into like preparing what they've said, and then also like building enough infrastructure around these, our more vulnerable communities, so that words like this don't actually harm them.
Yeah.
Like, because I mean, like, attacking, I mean, it's fun to attack the individual, but then I guess just to like label them as like, oh, you're just gay and you're in the closet and you just like, and it also like, it's kind of scary for, well, it's a kind of weird for people who are also like closeted at that time. They don't, it's like not very nice to like sort of lump them in the same category as like Pence and Tamaki.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of fun to entertain the idea, isn't it? Like, that's, I guess, where that kind of tactic comes from, isn't it? To be like, well, you're probably gay. But then also, oh, God, I don't want to... I find being, like, I'm so proud of my sexuality, and I love being gay. I love everything about it. And so for me to, like, kind of use that as, like, well, you're just gay, it's kind of like an insult to them.
Exactly.
Feels kind of, like, counterproductive to how I feel about it myself.
Yeah, it's suggesting that being gay is like a poison that ruins people from the inside when, who knows? They might be homophobic for a whole host of other reasons. And whether they're gay or not, what's important is that what they're doing is delivering hate speech, which is causing damage to the world, pitting people against each other. And the most important thing is to try and stop those messages from getting out anymore.
And I think mainly as well towards the more sort of vulnerable and easily influenced people, which is like specifically my mind goes to sort of younger queer people. So like anyone who's like, you know, at high school and they're like, you know, questioning their sexuality or their gender, and then they hear shit like that online and they can be influenced, and it actually like gets in the way
of them transitioning or coming out.
Yeah. The idea that someone with one of the most powerful jobs in the entire world believes in gay conversion therapy in this day and age is so awful to me, that there are young people who are going to have to hear from someone in a position of power such an archaic thing.
Statistically, there's people in that church as well, you know, who are who are questioning something inside of themselves, and they were sitting in there during that sermon hearing that.
Thinking, oh my god, that when I masturbated to that Cocky Boys video, maybe that was what caused the quake.
Maybe that's horrible. Levi Carter caused the quake.
Levi Carter caused the earthquake. Hey, that's all the time we have for the male gaze. If you take one thing away from this, just take the fact that Levi Carter has caused every natural disaster in the world. just kidding.
And if you're in Wellington, why don't you come check me out in Hudson Halls Live at the Hannah Playhouse, which is at the end of Courtney Place. It's one of the safest buildings in Wellington. It's a show about New Zealand iconic cooking duo who were madly in love, but it was before the homosexuality law reform. So you'll have a laugh and you'll have some feels. We opened last night, so we're on forever, well, 3 weeks. And so come check us out.
So I'll see you. I'm coming to Wellington tomorrow. I'll see you then. Thanks so much to our sponsors once again at bigpub.co.nz. We love you.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you're thirsty for another, why not try Boners of the Heart?
I would like to end my life having had like one significant relationship, like having had like the most significant relationship instead of just like a series of ones that are like good. Do you know
what
I mean?
That's interesting, yeah.
Like, I would like one to stand out.
How many relationships do you think you'll have in your life? I think I've got about four more in me.